Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Life is full of what-ifs, some awesome, like what if AI could fold your laundry? And some, well, less awesome, like what if you have unexpected medical costs? UnitedHealthcare can help get you covered with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. They supplement your primary plan to help you manage out-of-pocket costs. No deductibles, no enrollment periods, and especially no more what-ifs. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Hello everyone, welcome to the Red Men TV. The deep dive is back, and today we will be talking about Dominik Szoboszlai. Do you know anything about him, Josh?
Yeah, of course I do.
Do. Do you know any other pronunciations of his name?
Are you going to put me in it, are you? Yeah. Well, for the listeners who don't know, I was told, I don't know who it was by, it was a couple of years back, that you pronounce it Dominik Szoboszlai.
Szoboszlai.
Which does sound amazing, to be fair, doesn't it?
It does sound amazing, and I would like you to continue using that pronunciation forever, and especially if Liverpool sign him, I think it would be brilliant. So, Dominik Szoboszlai.
Well, that's not going to happen, because you're going to clip some of this, and it's going to go on Twitter, and I'm going to look like a fool. So, that's not happening.
So, Dominik, if we can clip the part that you set out... that said someone told me, and we can just use it's pronounced Szoboszlai. Now, the problem I've got here, Josh, is that Joe knows me better than you, and Joe's likely to use me saying it and not you saying it.
Right. Listen, if you put out there me saying it wrong, this will be the end of the deep dive. I won't come back.
Oh, wow. I'm there already.
Just putting that out there.
Right. Seriously,
yeah. I've got to be known to know my stuff, mate. If I can't even pronounce the lad's name, but why am I even here?
Well, it's true. Like, have you got any pronunciations of Robin Koch that you'd like to share with us?
No. Let's leave that one there.
All right, sounds. Okay, it's been a while since we've done a deep dive at you. Looking forward to this one, mate. So Dominik Szoboszlai,
I
pronounce his name in a few different ways, but who is he and what do you know about him?
Well, he's a good player for the kickoff. He was actually part of the deep dive that I did with Steve when we looked at eight for the summer. He was one of the names that we tipped because he just kind of fits the profile, and that we will get to that. But as a player that Liverpool are linked with, so far, apart from obviously McAllister, he's the lad who I'm probably most encouraged by. I think, you know, we've obviously got linked with Kone and Thuram, Matthias Nunes, Gravenberg and all this. But Szoboszlai, I think, is the most fitting link for me and the most encouraging link in terms of Liverpool, okay, we know what we're doing type of thing.
So why do you say that, Josh? Is it, you know, is it his size? Is it stats? Is it the fact that when you've watched him, you think he's going to be a really great fit? And I suppose if we want to look at the tactics board for a second before we get into it too much, I've set us up in the box midfield shape, Josh, and obviously, we've been linked with Kefren Ture and Manu Kone, who's actually, I think, picked up a bit of an injury in the unders and went off injured and left the ground on crutches. So I don't know where we are with that at the moment. Yeah. Thuram looks to be the most heavily favoured, of course. But is it as simple as this is the position you're looking at?
Yeah, it is. He's been in the Bundesliga for two seasons now in Germany. And his first season, he spent predominantly kind of like on the left. This season, he's moved over to the right. And under Marco Rose, who's in charge now, Leipzig used kind of like a 4-2-2-2.
He's like a wide right 10, isn't he?
Yeah, he is, yeah. Which is, it's not the same system Liverpool have been using with this 3-box-5 thing, 3-box-3 system. But it's very similar demands in terms of that role Liverpool have been using with Henderson and Elliott predominantly playing there. That's pretty much what Szoboszlai has been doing for Leipzig. For most of the season, so it's a perfect fit in that sense. And when the news was initially released, obviously it came from Ornstein at The Athletic. He obviously wrote, like, you know, it'll be a difficult deal to do and things like that, but one of the things he said was it'd be a difficult deal to do, but he is the desired profile. And that's the key language for me, because some of the links Liverpool have had this summer, with this shape, certainly, I've been a bit like, where's the fit there, though? Like, where would Kone fit in that, for example, if Fabinho's fit? Even Thuram, to be honest. You know, it would probably be there with Thuram, but then you've got McAllister there, you've got Jones there. So it's a bit of a puzzle, almost. Mm-hmm. But with Szoboszlai, as soon as the link came out, I was straight away like, yeah, there, sound. We need a player for there anyway, in my opinion. That's arguably the weakest of the 11 that we've got, because it's just Henderson and Elliott for that role. So that's kind of why I'm most encouraged by it. But then you mentioned like his numbers and his qualities as a player and all that, his age and things. It's the full package that, to me, suggests he's a really good fit for us.
Yeah, I must admit, like, I mean, one of the things that interests me most about him playing this position, I suppose, and I can't confess to have watched a lot of him. I've watched a lot of him over the last 2 days, don't get me wrong.
But it's all you need, mate.
It's all you need, yeah. Scout, of course. But what I like about his profile and his abilities and stuff like that, and I'm sort of thinking a little bit ahead of myself here, probably, Josh.
Mm.
But my concern around Liverpool right now is I think that Darwin Núñez is the best fit for this position.
Yeah.
Based on maybe Diaz and Salah. But I think his numbers, Salah, are going to come down if that's the case. I think if you play Gakpo here, you want someone who's naturally going to vacate that space and maybe allow Salah to get more into the box. And he's going to get his goals anyway. And then Szoboszlai into a position where he's very comfortable in that sort of Rose 4-2-2-2 formation. And that as a movement seems to just work for me.
Yeah.
And now I understand why Gakpo's there, because I think if we play two advanced tens and one's not Szoboszlai, one's Harvey Elliott, he doesn't really like to go around the right-hand side because he's left-footed. You've got McAllister there and Gakpo comes back. It feels very crowded to me.
Yeah.
Whereas I think with Szoboszlai, he'd vacate that space and everything would just flow a little better. Does that make sense?
Yeah. And one of the things with Szoboszlai, he reminds me a bit of a Gakpo, to be honest, in terms of his profile. Because Gakpo can, obviously, we got him from PSV when he thrived over here. He has played there for Liverpool as well.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, he's predominantly played as a nine, kind of like in the mould of Bobby. So Gakpo is obviously one of the most versatile players going, to be honest, by the looks of it. Szoboszlai is similar in terms of, like, played last season as a right-sided advanced number eight. He's also played as part of a front three because they used 3-4-3 a little bit, Leipzig, and Szoboszlai was playing over here where Salah would play. He's not left-footed, but I suppose he can do it to a decent level. And then his first season, as you say, in the Bundesliga, it's over on that side. So I think similar to Gakpo and similar to McAllister as well, he would come in as like a player who, he doesn't nail you down to any specific approach, any specific shape. He's just kind of like a product of whatever you want him to be, almost, really versatile. And I think that's a nice thing, considering at the minute, there's so many unanswered questions, isn't there, with Liverpool when it comes to like what Trent's going to become. Is Gakpo the nine? Is Núñez the nine? You know, there's loads of different unanswered questions. So getting in a player who's so versatile and he's not going to struggle regardless of where he's playing is a nice thing for Liverpool. So
yeah, I think the other thing is as well, obviously you mentioned he's played out on this right hand side and he's comfortable over there. Well, we're going to lose Salah for probably circa 5 games for the African Cup of Nations at some point. And I listen, Diaz can play there, Jota can play there. I don't really think they're very good there, if I'm being frank. They've never really impressed me. Ox never impressed me out there. Harvey Elliott hasn't really impressed me on that right-hand side. Firmino never impressed me on that right-hand side. So I do feel like at some point you are going to have to think about a player for that right-hand side, and you just never know, do you, whether it could just be him if we were to buy him and put him in that right-hand side for a few weeks to see where we go. But I am excited by the prospect of this one. But like, what are the sort of stats that are backing this sort of move up, I suppose, from Liverpool's point of view?
Well, there's a few things where he looks really good. When I touched on this kind of role the other week with Steve, he asked me to come up with like a bit of a criteria, and that one of them was, I think these two players just have to be constant passing options. They have to be open all the time. They have to be comfortable receiving the ball in confined spaces, usually with players behind them and stuff like that. And Szoboszlai, looking at the numbers, just looks like the kind of player who does do that, does offer that to his teammates. So for a bit of perspective on that, despite where he's playing, you know, high up in the final third and that, Joshua Kimmich was the only player who received more open play passes in the opposition half in the Bundesliga that season. Mm-hmm. And his I think it was about 31 open play passes received per 90. That was more than any other player at Leipzig. So he's offering an option there to his teammates a lot.
In the final third.
In the final third, yeah.
The opposition half, I should say. Sorry.
Yeah, I mean, if you check like his FB ref page and that, he makes a lot of passes, just general getting on the ball a lot compared to the average offensive midfielder, the average winger. Mm-hmm. So he's comfortable being kind of like that link man in the final third. And just as like a side note as well, I like the idea of that, considering we're potentially undergoing a change here where we've lost Bobby, who's the ultimate connecting player, and we're replacing him with a player who, for me, is kind of the opposite in Nunes. But you can kind of suffer that blow and absorb it if the two lads that you're putting there behind Nunes potentially just never lose the ball and constantly link the play. And McAllister's definitely one of them. And Szoboszlai looks similar in terms of just receiving the ball all the time, really neat and tidy and stuff in the final third. And his defensive numbers look decent as well. So he posted 39 high turnovers in the Bundesliga last season. That was more than any other Leipzig player. And it was the sixth highest in the Bundesliga. So he looks naturally inclined to press. And I think that could stem from the whole Red Bull.
Yeah, it's
education.
What they do from the Salzburg. Obviously, he played at Salzburg and Leipzig. It's what they do, isn't it?
Yeah, and obviously we've got Konate from there. Mane originated from Salzburg and then went to Southampton. Minamino, yeah. Naby. We got linked with Timo Werner at one point, didn't we? So these are all players we've kind of got it ingrained into them. And Szoboszlai's only ever played under the Red Bull umbrella. So he's absolutely
indoctrinated.
Nailed. Yeah, I mean, he's a perfect product of Klopp's game almost. Lots of similarities there. So,
well, in terms of creative numbers, have we got anything on him?
Yeah, well, his creative numbers look good as well. He looks really creative in open play, even though he does take a lot of set pieces for them.
Set pieces look wild, by the way.
I've seen a few of his free kicks.
Wow. Like, it's the free kicks from sort of this area of the field here where you're crossing it in. And I've watched about four or five goals from those positions. His set pieces from corners look absolutely brilliant as well. Now, obviously, when you're seeing his goals and assist videos, you're not seeing the misses, of course.
Yeah.
You're only seeing the good ones. But, like, his delivery, it looks like he can hit a ball in so many different ways. You know, two seasons ago, I was watching him whip the ball in with the outside of his boot from the left-hand side fairly often. I've seen him finish goals with the outside of his boot. Mm. He seems to be comfortable no matter where on the pitch he is. Now, he didn't come across like a two-footed player, but he looked very comfortable being at either side of the goal and using that right boot.
Yeah, he looks to me like he does lean on his right quite a bit, actually. But the whole set-piece thing, it's a nice quality to have, but that's where you kind of have to delve a little bit deeper with your analysis and stuff and determine that, like, if he doesn't take set-pieces for Liverpool, which he's not guaranteed to, is he? Because we've got Trent and Robbo and stuff. So if he doesn't take them, will he still produce similar creative numbers? And
that's where the open play stuff comes in.
Exactly, yeah. So he looks good in open play, but generally in terms of like shot creating actions, we call it, don't we, per 90. In the Bundesliga last season, based on his numbers, if he posted those same numbers in the Premier League, he would have ranked third behind only Kevin De Bruyne and Bruno Fernandes, which obviously bodes well. I mean, two of the most creative players in the league. And I think it ranked him just above Mahrez, who, to be fair to him, doesn't take many set pieces for City. I think Trent might have been up there, and James Maddison, the most creative players in the league. So it looks like we're adding just a perfect player for that role, to be honest, mate. I mean, Henderson's played it for the past couple of months, and he's done a job. But for me, Henderson's a functional player. He's not a technician. He's not like a final third player. This is an attacking bank of five. You don't want Henderson in that for me. So it's just a lot more of a fit, I think, tactically.
And do you think there's an emphasis on the players that we've been linked with, these tall, strong fellas? Because, I mean, he doesn't look particularly fast, but he is fast. I think that's definitely something that I've noticed. He's 6'1", isn't he? So he's got a bit of a frame on him as well. Mm. How old is he? 22 years,
yeah.
So he's of a good age as well for seeing the best years of his career at Liverpool. It does feel like there's a plan this summer now, doesn't it, when you see this? Because I was like you, Josh. When I'm seeing no one linked to this position or who I feel is playing that position, I'm a bit like, what's the plan here?
Exactly, yeah.
Why are we just going for left-sided fellas again?
Same.
We did that last year with the left-sided forwards. I never really understood the Gakpo thing until we saw Gakpo in the nine. And then it made perfect sense. Whereas this time it feels like, well, there's a big gaping hole and we're being linked with a lad who can fill the gaping hole. Good idea.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. I mean, previous seasons, I didn't overly think into it too much because we were just so good at recruitment for a period. But it just kind of... When Edwards left and we get in Nunes and Carvalho, neither of whom are natural tactical fits for what we were doing, that was just a bit of a red flag for me, as if, like, you know, without Edwards in the building, and now Ward's left as well, and Ian Graham and people like this, I've just been a bit almost...
Well, you question them, don't you, a bit
little,
more?
Yeah, a little bit more, yeah, a little bit on my toes with, like, if someone does get linked, my first thought has been, where's the fit? And with a Kone, for example, I keep using him, but I don't know where he would fit in this. If this is what we're going to be doing for the next season or whatever, I don't know where he would fit in that, whereas Szoboszlai is just a natural fit there. And without that link there, I've been thinking, like, well, you've got Henderson, you've got Elliott, you've potentially got Trent, who can do it. I mean, he was doing similar spaces for England recently, weren't he? So it's nice to see a link emerge that, even though it's been, like, played down a little bit, as in, like, it'll be a difficult deal to do and stuff, it's definitely the right fit for what we're after. So I haven't got any...
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am, but Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
What about your understanding of the deal? Obviously, you know, Ornstein had mentioned there's a release clause that expires in a couple of days' time. But I think, you know, we're hearing rumblings that Newcastle are in for him as well. Heard rumblings that his agent's been in both Liverpool and Newcastle over the last few days and stuff. Do you think this is a deal that Liverpool can get done?
Well, the release clause thing is interesting because this is getting talked about a lot on, like, Twitter and stuff like that. But I don't overly know if it matters much in this case, because obviously the release clause currently is pretty high at €70 million, about £60 million.
They'd probably take that anyway.
Yeah, yeah.
Whether there's a release clause or not.
If that, I mean, A, if we want to bid lower than that, we can. There's nothing stopping us from doing it. And B, if that runs out, that then just means you can bid anything for him, and you can, you know, get him for less or possibly.
You can get him for less now if they accept it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so
they just don't have to accept it.
Yeah, I don't think the release clause thing is that much of a thing.
Am I right in saying that the release clause is still valid after the 30th of June, but it then becomes January release clause?
I don't know, I haven't seen that one.
I read that, and I don't know whether there's any truth in that, but I read that. It's basically, if you want to get him out this summer, it has to be done by the 30th of June. Post the 30th of June, if you hit the release clause, it just becomes a January signing, unless you can negotiate coming out.
Yeah, okay. Well, it would make sense from Leipzig's perspective to get that.
Because they always keep release clauses in. It's something that they're known for, because they get value out of their players by using those release clauses.
Yeah.
And it's also, I think, what makes them a good club in general, in terms of how they're running their sort of little Bundesliga ecosystem, is that you go to Leipzig because you know you can get a move to a big club from it. If they stop letting people go to big clubs from Leipzig,
exactly.
No one goes there in the first instance. it's a money making machine at the moment that is fulfilling its own prophecy. It's a terrible word, but you know what I mean? By just allowing these players, they use them, they stay good, they keep the next lad in, they make 50 million quid off them, they bring the next lads up, and they just carry on going like that.
Yeah, well, that's what Brighton done with McAllister. You know, it's similar. That's how they get McAllister in the first place, by saying, if a big club comes in for you, we will not hold on to you. And the downside of a release clause like that is, the thing with release clauses is you pretty much have to pay it lump sum for it to actually be activated properly, like all official and above board. Obviously, Liverpool are not going to pay 60 million lump sum like that.
No.
So any negotiation that's happening, I think it's definitely worth exploring. And I think if you get him for around that,
you could use Klarna in this instance.
Did you see that actually on Twitter? Oh, it's brutal, that way, isn't it? But I think...
He tweeted John Edwards, Klarna.
Oh, that sums it up, doesn't it? The
Chesley payments, just brilliant.
It doesn't look good for it, does it? Makes it look so skint. But I think if you were to get him for like 60, which sounds like a lot, you got McAllister for 35.
Yeah.
So it does kind of bridge the gap a little bit. And you're getting both for like 45 each or something, so... It makes sense. He's got another 3 years on his contract. So I understand why it would be a tricky deal to do and stuff like that. But we tried to get Bellingham reportedly. We tried to get Mount, Tchouaméni. These are all super expensive players. We only spent 35 on McAllister. We should have enough in reserve to be able to get this lad. But it just remains to be seen, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. One of the other things I want to talk about with him then is, from watching him, obviously you compared him to Bruno Fernandes and Kevin De Bruyne in the numbers.
Mm.
But the eye test, what are you saying?
Yeah, to be honest, I was thinking of a player that he reminds me of, and I couldn't come up with anybody. He is really technical in the final third, despite being quite big in that. And he's got a shot on him as well. He's got like his ability to strike the ball cleanly is really, you can see that clearly. The only thing with that, he does shoot from outside the box a lot. In the past two seasons, he's had 62 shots from outside the box. That's in two seasons. And he scored 3 goals, and 2 of them were free kicks.
Mm.
So, in terms of... I mean, the one goal he did score, if it wasn't the Bundesliga, I have seen it. And it was Have you seen it?
The 30-yarder where it just clips the top of the bar.
Yeah, it's just perfect, isn't it?
That's beautiful.
It's a great strike.
It is an absolute thing of beauty. Now, the thing with that, I suppose, is Liverpool, I think, always don't mind signing those players and then just selling them. Curb your enthusiasm.
Yeah.
We will wait until we're in a good area of the field for us to take our shot. So I don't have a concern about that. Personally, I think that's down to the coaching staff to go, what you did there is not going to happen here.
Yeah.
But I mean, you've got to also give them the freedom to be able to do it, of course.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I mean, that was one of the skills attached to Gakpo's game. Apparently, when he first came in, he can strike a ball. He can let fly from distance. He's done a little bit less at Anfield. But again, it's another similarity between the two, to be honest. It's a bit like having a Gakpo for over here, rather than, obviously he wants the left, doesn't he? So it's a nice tactical fit, really, isn't it?
Can I ask you then, Josh, we set up in the same formation.
Mm.
Who is your front five if we sign him?
Salah, Szoboszlai, Nunes, McAllister, Diaz.
So no Gakpo.
Oh, I just knocked that off a little bit.
It was a mic drop. It was a mic drop after him saying that, you know, no Gakpo. Incredible timing.
What do you reckon? I didn't. It's tricky, isn't it?
It was just for you. I asked the question. It was easy for me.
What would you go?
I go Gakpo.
Where?
What's that? Love makes some Gakpo.
In place of Nunes. Oh,
that was a good catch. That
was written at me. Do you know what I think?
I think I'd go Gakpo.
To an extent, for me, it depends who we're playing against, you know. Because I think Gakpo's far better than Nunes defensively.
Get the splinters out your ass! Come on, you
no, it matters, mate. Horses of courses. Gakpo's far better than Nunes defensively. That is unquestioned. So, if we're playing against Manchester City, Gakpo. But, I mean, first game of the season, it's tricky, to be fair, because it's Chelsea, isn't it? I don't know, mate. I'm on the fence.
No. Splinters are fully in your ass. I'd prefer Gakpo, but that's only because I think the second half of the season from Nunes was nowhere near good enough.
Mm. But how much of that was his fault, though? Well, you get what I mean? Fit-wise? You're playing him out here.
It's true.
But Gakpo came in with not 15 goals in the first half of the season and displaced him.
Mm.
That's a concern if you're Nunes.
Yeah, yeah, definitely a concern, yeah.
So for me, I think the long-term future of Darwin Nunes is if he doesn't get into this side next season, he's probably going to move on. I just can't see that we'll have him around if he can't displace Gakpo. But first game of the season, I would start Gakpo.
See, in my, it's tricky, la. If, in my head, if I picture the best version of Nunes,
yeah,
it's higher than Gakpo.
Which is fine. Nunes, I understand that, yeah.
So, and we paid 85 million for him.
I'd agree with
so,
that.
So, I just feel like the responsibility to get the most from is proper there, I think, in the coming season.
I agree with you. I think his ceiling as a goal scorer is much higher. I just don't know whether the team's
and I think this is well,
ceiling is higher with Gakpo.
Gakpo can play any of them three. I think that's slightly less so that, but he can get in the team in other ways. Whereas Nunes, for me, has to play there. And seeing him picking up the ball here for the rest of the, for the first season that he's played and trying to face up opponents here and beat them through craft when he. The best he's got is just knocking the ball and run, and he can do that because he's rapid. But for me, he needs to be accommodated like Liverpool's Haaland,
yeah.
And this is the shape Pep used to accommodate Haaland. Everything's there for. I mean, one of the things I've thought about with Szoboszlai and McAllister and even Jones, all three of those, despite being like advanced midfielders, they just never lose the ball at any of them. Really make the ball stick and give you lots of control up here, high up the pitch. And that control can almost be like a yin-yang thing with the chaos that Nunes brings. You need real control if you're going to accommodate his just anarchy, almost.
Yeah. I think the important thing for Nunes is that he's learned English and that he understands the system, because I think back end of the season he didn't understand the system.
Has he learned English now, has he?
I don't know.
That's a big thing.
The important thing is that he learns English, you know. Yeah. So if he hasn't done that, Klopp will be absolutely raging.
Yeah,
like you've had a full year, right? You needed to have sorted this out. I agree with every one of your points, by the way. I just think I'd prefer Gakpo.
Yeah,
it's
I'm
very much higher on Nunes than probably most people in this office in terms of where he can be, and I completely agree with you. He absolutely should be playing the number nine and not on the left-hand side.
Yeah,
but Gakpo's special as well.
I wouldn't be surprised if it was Gakpo starting there. I probably would expect that to happen. I just think I would hope that Nunes has enough of a pre-season and enough of a bit of like a transformation or whatever. Klopp gets a full pre-season with him to bed him in. Hopefully he can speak the language a bit better. The amount that he cost, I would hope that enough happens between now and the first game for him to be deserving of starting there, and maybe Gakpo plays somewhere else. I don't know. We've got options.
Yeah,
it's definitely
okay,
a thing.
Well, last sort of little section, I suppose. Then we've obviously spoken about Szoboszlai and where he would fit in. Now, if he was to be Liverpool's second signing, for argument's sake, this might not happen. Of course, we're just moving the conversation forwards. Where's next? Where's that third position that you're looking to strengthen?
Probably a left-footed centre-back, I think, is what I would like. But then a lot of that depends on Matip, probably, doesn't it? But I just think the way in which we played last season with this, the Robbo thing worked a bit, and he coped and stuff like that, but so often Canate was just breaking his leg, wasn't he, covering ground and that, so... If we got a left-sided centre-back that was actually a centre-half, like someone like Ignacio for Sporting or someone like that. I mean, Villa have just recently got Pau Torres, actually, which is an interesting one. He's left-footed. There's not many left-footers about, which is why we're probably stalling on that. But I think we probably need a centre. I think if we get Szoboszlai in, the midfield rebuild is like... I don't know if it's done. Would it be done in your eyes?
Don't know. I probably not done. But I think in terms of this transfer window and the money that we probably have to spend to get a boss centre-half in, plus those two midfielders, Liverpool might be done.
Yeah.
I don't think the rebuild's done.
I mean, we need a right-back as well, don't we?
We need someone to back up Salah as well, but that might be Szoboszlai. I think, you know, in terms of what Liverpool are realistically going to achieve, three big signings is what I said at the start of the summer. And I could see a young kid coming in or something like that. I still think we need someone for there. I still think we need someone for there long-term. To be honest with you.
We do need a right back, though, to be honest. I have just overlooked that a little bit. I mean, we've lost Milner.
We need a backup to Salah. I mean, there are still holes in the squad. It's just what can you achieve? And I suppose the other thing is, if Liverpool were to sign Kefren Thuram, which is still highly likely, you know, and Liverpool were to sign Dominic Szoboszlai, that's our quota of 18 non-UK players filled.
Yeah.
And that's the 25-man squad filled.
Yeah.
So they'd have to be English. Could you see a Levi Colwell coming in or something like that?
Yeah, I've been in favour of Colwell. Like, I think that I'd make that happen if I could. But whether Chelsea do seem reluctant to lose him, and rightly so, to be honest.
They don't seem to need the money anymore because they've backdoored FFP.
Yeah, I mean, they've sold Havertz, haven't they, for 65 million. They got rid of Kovacic for about 30, 35 or something like that. Mount is probably going to go for about 60 plus. So they will probably get that under wraps enough to keep hold of Colwell, I assume. But yeah, I can't see a signing forward. I can't see that happening in a million years.
Another left forward.
For me, Szoboszlai is a midfielder, not a forward for me. So it's either the centre half thing / left footed left back type thing, or a right back is probably the next on the agenda. But a lot of that is determined by whether Trent keeps doing the inverted stuff, whether he becomes a midfield option. It's just, keep saying it, don't we, every time it's up in the air,
it is until the season starts and we know what Jürgen's plans is, and you know, we might not even see them in pre-season. I'm sure he'll play around with a few different formations, but we know that it's all about fitness in pre-season. So yeah, I think we've about wrapped up our deep dive on Dominic Szoboszlai. No Red Men Plus show this week, it's just a YouTube show. If you want to check out the brilliant Bobby Firmino documentary in full and glorious high definition, then you can do on redmenplus.com. Thank you so much for watching. Thank you, Josh, for coming in, for joining me for this one, and we'll see you all next time.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.